The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
For many people, the idea of looking at art involves going to a museum, where in gallery after gallery, there are paintings hanging on the wall, or perhaps sculptures set upon a pedestal. That's why UWM's INNOVA, the Institute of Visual Arts, presents such an exciting opportunity to experience art in some new ways. On this edition of UWM Today, we meet the director of INNOVA, Sarah Kurjewski, who is bringing a fresh approach to presenting contemporary art. Welcome, Sarah. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, and you're relatively new. You joined UWM back in July of this past year.
Yes, that's correct. I've been here now for 8 months, getting situated and getting to know the lay of the land, the university, the art community here, and it's been a wonderful time.
Well, we're going to talk about your impressions, but I first want to set the stage for listeners who may not know much or perhaps even anything about INNOVA. It is a real place. In fact, it's a wonderful place located just a little bit south of the main campus on Milwaukee's east side.
Yes, it is. We are located off of North Prospect, 2155 North Prospect, in the Kenilworth Building, which also houses graduate student and faculty studios and an array of performance spaces, and musicians are there. It's really a vibrant place within the Peck School of the Arts where art is being made and exhibited at INNOVA.
And it's a wonderful building that actually had been owned by the federal government for years, and there's a great history. They used to make, I don't know if you knew this, they used to make Model Ts and even torpedoes in that building over the last 100 years.
Yeah, it's got quite the history, and it's a really fabulous facility that's been renovated in some remarkable ways. And you can get a glimpse of it just coming in right off of Prospect into the INNOVA Gallery and seeing our exhibitions.
Well, let's talk about this whole idea of presenting art differently. I did paint that picture of a more staid or traditional forum for presenting art, thinking of museums and galleries, and to take nothing away from that, those are wonderful places where many of the great masters hang. But but your art, the type of art that you're presenting, is not necessarily going back 350 years from a musty, dusty time in our past.
Yeah, exactly. We focus on contemporary art, so art that's being made now. INNOVA is an institute at the UWM, so that means we focus on research, and through the gallery we present what our research into contemporary art is. And we, in that capacity, we focus on those artists who are really pushing the envelope, and those artists, you know, they might be working in painting and sculpture, but they could also be working in video art or film installation, things that are more active and time-based. I've been doing a lot of research into artists who incorporate performance into their work. And so those experiences are very different than going to a museum to walk through and contemplate pictures hanging on a wall.
When people think about contemporary art, I think sometimes they presume, well, this is avant-garde. This is really going to unfold in the future. But in a sense, there's always been contemporary art because people do come up with new ways of expressing themselves and have done so for hundreds of years.
That's absolutely right. And you know, I was just reminded of a thought that we don't know what the art will be in the future that we remember from today. So we're at INNOVA, we're looking for those artists that are really trying some new things and trying to express what art can be today. And hopefully those artists will, when we look back on their work in the future, really represents a snapshot of what our culture was like at this time.
And just as a point of reference, in his day, Picasso probably was viewed as startlingly different and very contemporary compared to the old masters.
Absolutely. And the way that Picasso, as a cubist, fractured the picture plane, you know, he was responding to all kinds of contemporary influences of the time, photography, newspapers, ways that he was seeing the world at that moment that were representing some of the disjointed experiences one had at the moment when trains and cars were becoming modes of transportation that now we take for granted, but at that time really changed the way we could see the world.
And of course, maybe the most famous in our day of the contemporary artist, Andy Warhol.
Right, yes. Influenced by popular culture and incorporating logos and brands and celebrities into his artwork. At the time, that was something that visitors to a gallery really had. Why am I seeing a Brillo box sitting in the gallery instead of on a shelf in a store? And nowadays we can see those works by Warhol in all the great museums and in their modern art.
And they've become beloved today, haven't they? Isn't it amazing how our frame of reference changes?
Yes, you're exactly right. It's, the art that causes people to scratch their heads or really even become very upset. You know, in the 1910s and 20s, there were some riots that were caused by contemporary artists creating work that was so radical and so different. And we just didn't have a frame of reference with which to process it. So, I'm not saying I want to create some riots down Prospect at Innova, but if I think today we need to have an open mind when approaching contemporary art, that we may not understand what the artist is getting at immediately. But if it sticks with you and you keep thinking about it, and I think that's a successful work of art when it just shifts your perspective a little bit and causes you to look at something new or think about something differently. And that can happen in all kinds of art experiences.
I would also add to that in for some of us, certainly for me, it also means that we need permission to say that's okay. And let me explain where I'm coming from. When I was growing up and Warhol broke onto the scene, I thought it was amazing and startling. But I grew up on Milwaukee's South Side, and I had maybe been in the art museum once in my life, and my understanding or perception of what art should be was not that. And I was remember looking around saying, hey, is it okay for me to enjoy that? It sounds silly now, but back then it broke the norm. And I felt, well, this isn't serious, and therefore could it really be important?
Yes, I think we often we're not sure how to approach it, or we're taught about art in certain categories or as a historical progression, and when something breaks that mold and you don't know how to interpret it, or you're not in a place where you can talk about it or really wrestle with the ideas behind it, then we can feel a little bit lost. But my hopes with what we're doing at Innova is to make contemporary art more accessible, provide a context for it, and provide some materials for people to chew on when they come to the gallery. And, we aim to have an openness and in our staff so that we can talk about the work with you if you choose to engage with us. And, I think it's a perfectly valid question to ask, why is this art?
Exactly. Now, we're going to talk about a wonderful award that you received recently, a Warhol Fellowship to study and I guess ask some of these questions through some research. But again, for the benefit of our listeners who may not have been at Innova previously, talk about the types of programs that have been there recently. What sort of contemporary art caught your eye and made you smile and say, wow, I'm looking at things differently because of this?
Sure. Well, at Innova currently, we have an exhibition of prints on view. It's an international print exhibition that is in conjunction with a conference that the Peck School of the Arts and the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design are pulling together for March 20th through 23rd. But this exhibition on view now at Innova has artists from around the world. We have three different countries represented: South Korea, Mexico, and South Africa. And the breadth and depth of the work that's on view currently is pretty remarkable. We have printmakers working in traditional mediums like woodblock prints, etchings, right up to some of the latest digital technologies. One of the artists that is represented in the South African contingent is William Kentridge, who is quite a well-known artist in the art world. He has, for probably 10 to 15 years now, created these wonderful animations that are sequential. He'll draw an image, take an image of it, erase it, create a new image. So it's kind of a stop-action type of film presentation. And he touches on a lot of the political and social issues in South Africa. We have a series of his prints on view now, and I bring him up because I think he's a perfect example of an artist who has a real conceptual rigor. The work is very strong in the ideas that he's wrestling with, and it's communicated in a way that is somewhat, it's very layered and very nuanced, but it's, even though it's a complex work of art with complex ideas, it's very approachable to come to the work without any of that background knowledge and see the narrative within it and see the complexity of the types of things he's trying to represent, the racism, apartheid, social divisions that are within his home culture.
When you view contemporary art, do you find it useful for you to have the context within which that piece was created, to have done some research on what motivated the artist? Or will you typically just walk in and see it cold and allow it to kind of smack you in the face?
Well, I guess in my role as a curator and the director of the gallery, I often don't have the time to do all of the research that I would like to do going into an exhibition. So sometimes I am faced with the work of art right in front of me, and I have to have a reaction. And I think that that is a perfectly valid way to approach things. That's how we go about our daily lives. Things come at us, and we have to, you know, look at it and understand it and analyze it at times. And because contemporary art often has a very specialized language to it, that it's, you know, maybe it's abstract or it's really working with ideas that aren't readily expressed, I think that's how it can be very challenging for people. And that challenge, if it doesn't resolve itself quickly, can be that kind of stumbling block that, oh, I don't get it, and you know, this isn't for me. So if there's material at the gallery that can help to explain it, you know, I like to present that to people. But I think it's also important to just open oneself up to the experience. What is it saying to me? Why does it give me pleasure, or why does it make me feel agitated, or what's actually going on in this?
Sort of like walking into a room full of people. Some rooms you're familiar, you see friendly or familiar faces. In other rooms you walk in and you've never seen a soul there before. And that doesn't mean you refuse to walk into one of those rooms because you don't know anyone, and you sort of deal with what comes, right?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes folks will have a sense that you know, maybe contemporary artists are a little too smart, or they're trying to pull one over on me because I'm, you know, I'm not familiar with their language. But I would ask those who aren't familiar with it to just let your guard down, and you don't have to know that specialized language to still be able to get something out of the experience.
A few years ago, my wife and I went to Museum of Modern Art and didn't do any research. We just said, hey, we have an afternoon, let's go. And we literally just threw ourselves into it. And what was really interesting was the fact that my wife and I both walked away saying, we saw some things that we didn't understand, but we were bemused by them. We said, you know, I never thought about presenting an idea or presenting an image in the way in which it was presented. And in a couple of cases, we actually went back when we got home and did some reading and said, oh, that's I didn't know the backstory. And it brought another dimension to that experience. And I'm not sure if we would have seen the art the same way if we had walked into that gallery having already done our homework.
Yeah, I think that's you're like the perfect viewer for me. I want you to come to the gallery and just, you know, engage with the work. Because
that means I don't know much.
No, I think that we do, we're a very sophisticated visual culture, you know, today. Everyone's got a camera on their telephone. You know, we make pictures, we circulate images, we communicate a lot through visual languages. And I think that, you know, most people have a pretty good handle on these elements that in art we call composition or color theory or other, you know, we put words around it so that we can teach it. And so, you know, just allowing one's own intuitive understanding of those concepts can really be just that gateway into, you know, requesting more information. And, you know, it's fine to come in and read the introduction in the gallery and understand what you're looking at before you go in and experience things. But, you know, I think it's also, you know, I would challenge people to just let all that go and feel what your immediate reactions are before having, you know, all the text and all the explanation presented.
And the angst that sometimes comes with it when you feel, I've got to know more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You walk into a restaurant and sometimes you do study the menu and other times you say, I'll try that. Mm-hmm. What are they having at that table? And you allow yourself to be surprised or even delighted by the new experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. Joining us in the studio is Sarah Kujewski. Sarah's the relatively new director of INNOVA, a fabulous contemporary art venue at UW-Milwaukee. It stands for the Institute of Visual Arts. And Sarah and I are talking about some of the new ideas, new programs that she'll be bringing as the new director of the Institute. Sarah, we're going to give folks later on in the program a periscope on what they can expect in upcoming months. But I do want to get to the Warhol Fellowship that you've been awarded. $35,000, I believe?
$31,500.
Oh, give it, round it up.
Let's, I don't know why they didn't, but.
So you got some money from the Warhol Foundation to help you continue to delve into what the understanding or the dissection of contemporary art?
Right. This is a wonderful opportunity for both myself and for INNOVA. The Warhol Fellowship is a generous grant from the Andy Warhol Foundation, and they make grants to curators to delve more deeply into a particular topic that they feel is an important contribution to understanding contemporary art. So my research is into what I'm calling a super hybrid art form. And by that, I mean art that combines elements of performance and contemporary performance like theater and dance with visual art elements such as sculpture, video art. And I'm interested in finding a kind of common ground between two disciplines that we often think of as very separate, the performing arts world and the visual art world.
And are you going to be looking at people who truly do that combination themselves or bringing together those two types of artists or performers and put their work side by side?
Well, at the end of my fellowship year, I've got a year's worth of travel ahead of me to various performance and art festivals. I'll be bringing together an exhibition that will synthesize some of the research that I've done. So effectively, what that means is an exhibition and set of programs where I'll ask artists to come to INNOVA and install their work or create a performance that covers some of the ideas of this notion of super hybrid or what might be beyond the interdisciplinary.
Do visual artists and performance artists see themselves in two separate camps?
Well, that's a really interesting debate that's happening right now in the art world, in the contemporary performance side of things. Let me back up one step. In the visual art world, there's just been a proliferation of artists incorporating performance into their work. And that there has been a tradition of what we call performance art that has been created in a visual art context. Those artists may or may not be very well crafted in, say, a theatrical type of presentation. So there's a kind of rawness or an authentic emotion that might come from those experiences. On the flip side, the contemporary performance world really values the craft of being able to produce a performance and to do things in a seamless manner to transport viewers and audience members into another realm. So that's really kind of at the crux of this debate. You know, should it be well-crafted or should it be kind of raw and authentic? And that's not to say that artists in either camp are kind of crossing over. And that's actually the territory that I want to find, where there are performers who are doing very sophisticated work with video and film as part of their performance, and the visual artists, maybe the video artists or sculptors, who are very capable in the way that they interact and act within their installations that they create.
If visual artists do it enough, is it possible for them to become performance artists just by virtue of becoming better and more sophisticated?
Well, I think that's what I hope to find out. That, you know, I do believe that there is an area where there is this crossover, and an artist's, you know, just I think to operate in the art worlds today, you need to kind of find yourself in one niche or another. You need a venue. So maybe you gravitate towards a theater as your venue, or you gravitate towards a gallery or a museum as your venue. What I hope to achieve with Innova is to create a kind of hub or a forum where some of this crossover can take place.
Why, as consumers, as people who are viewing this art, why is it always so interesting to stumble upon or discover things like performance art that we may not have experienced before? Are we looking for it, or would we know we missed it if we didn't see a presentation?
Yeah, I think that, I like to say, and I don't think this is anything new, but that we do perform our daily lives today. We're very aware of how we present ourselves in our communities or online in our if we have a Facebook page, we kind of present a certain personality on that page. So I think that, you know, going back to what we were discussing earlier about this intuitive understanding of how performance works or how visual artists create their work, I think that if we open our eyes, we'll see it around us. And performance art really is now kind of a genre in and of itself. So many museums are programming it specifically. The Museum of Modern Art in New York and the Whitney Museum as well have performance art curators. But what I'm hoping to do at Innova is not so specifically that genre of performance art, but to try to open it up a little bit and challenge what we mean by that definition. Because like all art forms, it does become a bit codified. And, you know, there's a language and an approach to it that that artists will often take. But I think those artists on the cutting edge are really examining those definitions and trying to break them down.
We're all walking around with iPhones or some sort of smart device or tablet in our pocket or purses these days. Does the fact that we are using technology in our own individual lifestyles to the degree that we are now, is that having any impact on how artists are doing their work, creating product for us to consume.
Yeah, it sure does. I think that technology is just so available to everyone now that, artists are utilizing those same digital technologies that we have access to as consumers. But I think, taking it to a different level with the way that we behave with our technology and the way that we utilize it and the product, the pictures or videos or whatever it is that we make with them. I think through those activities we have, we're already at this level of understanding and, as artists kind of continue to push these technologies and the behaviors in different directions, I think, in part they're responding to what things are happening in popular culture, but also kind of pushing those things forward into new territory.
And maybe also get us to appreciate how our behavior has been affected by using technology in our own lives. Bob Greenstreet, our dean of the School of Architecture, had a funny, funny line. This came a few years ago when all of our students began walking around with cell phones, and of course their nose is buried in it, looking at Facebook or doing a Twitter post. And he said, at night it's like we have a sea of glowworms walking around the campus. And I'm not sure until he said that I appreciated the fact that, there's a whole different manner of behavior than 10 years ago when if you wanted to use the phone, you went back to your dorm instead of fishing into your purse or your pocket.
Yeah, that immediacy and the kind of disjointed behavior that comes from that at one minute we're on Facebook posting something, but then, at the next we're reading the newspaper, or we have this real disjointed sensibility about what is virtual and what's real, and things really blend together in these kind of hybrid ways that I think characterize our contemporary existence, and I think artists are responding to that.
Sarah, we just have a minute or so left, and I know you gave a little shout out for the makers in print, the print program, but I know we've got another fascinating program coming up in spring that you wanted to make
right,
a pitch for.
Right, yeah. Opening April 5th is a great project called the Avant-Garde Coffee House, which is in collaboration with the Fingerstyle Guitar Program at the Peck School of the Arts. The Avant-Garde Coffee House was a venue in Milwaukee, not far from Innova, just up Prospect Street, where it was the locus of a revival in blues revival, as well as a site for experimental film and poetry and visual art in the late 60s. So the guitar program has been engaged with a research project, and the culmination is a great exhibition at Innova that will feature photography from the coffee house, footage of performances, as well as live performances, and a new play that's been written by the theater program called Meet Me at the Avant-Garde.
And that runs from?
And the play is April 26th through 28th and May 2nd through 5th.
Fabulous. Well, you have so many things going on. Again, people can go to uwm.edu, just plug in Innova in the search engine, and they'll pull up the entire listing of programs and projects that you're presenting.
Yes.
I wish we had more time. So we're going to have you back on after you complete this research on the Warhol Fellowship and tell us what you found in terms of this marriage or integration between visual and presentation arts. Would you do that for us?
Yeah, I would love to.
Wonderful. Sarah Krajewski, the director of Innova, fabulous place, just south of North Avenue on Prospect, the main entrance, great place, big UWM sign there. Check it out. It's something that will make you smile, I'm sure. That's all for this week's program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.